Welcome to the Science and Spirituality Podcast, where we dive deep into universal spiritual principles and ground them in modern science. My name is Chris Carton.
And my name is Kevin Carton, and we are committed to simplifying the spiritual side of success for you with easy-to-understand scientific research so you can walk away with practical tools to create radical transformations in your life. Let's get started.
Hello, my fellow spiritual beings. Welcome to the Science and Spirituality Podcast. Kevin Carton here, and today I'm recording a solo episode to share with you on this topic that I think is on many people's minds who feel or believe or identify as being spiritual, is how do we actually thrive as a spiritual being while we're in this physical human reality? It seems like there's this tension or this duality that we struggle with when we awaken to our truth of who we are as a spiritual being, as a soul, but then we're still in this human reality. Like, how do we actually thrive in this human reality when spirituality or the cultivation of our soul and building a relationship with our spiritual being, it's not very supported, to be honest. I think actually that's why, this is just a off the hand comment or opinion, I think that's why religions were created in and of themselves anyway, in the very, very beginnings, is to support in a structure to help us connect spiritually, although many of them have, you know, become more power control and structures like that. However, still, I personally believe the root of those organizations or those structures for us is to support us, but not so much anymore. And so how do we actually thrive as a spiritual being in this human reality, especially when there's so much seemingly against having that kind of strong connection spiritually? So that's what I want to share with you today. And this, as I mentioned, is a hot topic. And quite literally just today, someone had mentioned this to me, and I want to read these lines that this woman had messaged me, because it fits perfectly with this whole topic that I was planning on recording anyway. So it just is this synchronicity that works together well. So she writes, "As a spiritual being, I can understand my human condition, but I'm having a hard time with the realities of the constant ebb and flow. My main struggle points are the reality of following my dreams, but I spend most of my days cobbling in an existence in which I can't support myself, or I'm trying to support myself." So she continues saying, "I'm longing for stability and harmony between my mind, body, spirit, and I want to have this kind of spiritual connection or practice while maintaining a living in the city I'm living in." So if you can relate with that, then this episode is for you. And I have this idea, this topic near and dear to my heart, because when I began my spiritual journey and had a spiritual awakening a decade ago when I was 21, it was more of like a slow build to that age of 21, but it was like a year, year and a half that I was exploring, starting to meditate, going to like starting to practice yoga here or there. But then I really, woke up or awakened to who I really am as a spiritual being. And when I was around 21, over the last decade, it's been my life's work really to help not only my clients, but really work on helping myself navigate this very normal challenge, I'll say. And so there's no secret about it that there is duality that we live in, but this, I want to identify the challenge first, and then we're going to talk about how do we actually do this? How do we thrive as a spiritual being? So duality is no secret that there's obviously our spiritual nature and our spiritual world, but then there's also the physical world, human life, that is very pressing many times. So like there's very real responsibilities like money and food and shelter and relationships, our physical health. Like there's all these very physical, tangible things, and it can seem like we lose ourselves in our spiritual nature. So that really is the challenge. Like, how do we navigate that and find harmony? But here's the challenge I find, that most people are in one extreme or the other. And first, before I even identify this challenge even more specifically, I don't think anything is bad. I think we just have to look at the kind of experience and the consequences of the ways in which we live and whether we accept them, we like them or not. That's it. It's not about shaming or judging on any way of living life. It just, let's look at the consequences, the effects or the results of the ways in which we live life. So one extreme is if we're heavily focused on our own spirituality, heavily focused on who we are as a soul and our soul's growth, but yet if we solely focus on that, then as this woman wrote to me, she said, mind, body, spirit, right? Like we all know that Trinity. So if we only focus on the spirit, then geez, the mind and the body start to deteriorate. And we find people in that kind of life where they struggle to, you know, pay their bills or struggle to make ends meet. They struggle in their health. And personally, for me, that's not the kind of life I like to live. Although there are, I believe, ways in which you can be solely focused on your spiritual growth and your spiritual life, and yet live a decent life. Well, let me clarify what I mean by decent. I mean, like actually like taking care of yourself, you know, like there are ways to do that. And, at least in my awareness, the main ways of doing that is like committing your life to that kind of path in an organization. Like I think of like, say like monks in a monastery that like are pledging their life there and, you know, donations and all, like they support their livelihood, but their main focus is spirituality, like their own growth spiritually and then teaching others. So that's their choice, right? But then for most people, and I imagine you listening to this, you might not be that. You might not have that desire to renounce worldly things or material things, or maybe even having a family or things like that, like renouncing that just for your spiritual life. You want best of both worlds, right? But here's the other side of this extreme. If we only focus on the physical reality, our material world, material things like money and our physical appearance, the home we live in, our car, our job, like relationships, friends, like if we only focus on that, then we subtly over time start to drift away from even caring about our spiritual well-being, about how we are in our spiritual sense of how we're feeling in our truest authentic self. So I think there's an extreme there as well that we can forget about our spiritual path and why we're even here on planet Earth. Like why we chose as a soul to incarnate at this time in human history, in this particular human body and with the particular family we were born into. I personally believe that was a choice that we chose to be here. And so we can often forget about that. And I've had experiences on both ends of the extreme. Like I remember one example when I first had my spiritual awakening and I got heavily into yoga. I actually taught yoga for 2 years. I actually considered renouncing worldly material things and going to India and doing some kind of service work and just making that my life. I honestly considered that, but that was a consideration probably for about a month, like seriously about a month, but it really wasn't aligned with what I felt like was right for me or my soul's purpose. But then on the other end of the extreme, I absolutely have been way too focused on materiality. And I think that's the challenge for most people. It's the more common challenge because like I said before, some of those things are very pressing, like making sure we can even have food for ourselves in a given week, right? Or be able to afford the roof over our head. Like I've, especially when I first started my life coaching business, the first year or two were a struggle. And I've shared this story with clients before, but I'll share it with you here. There was a month in 2018 that I literally put my rent payment on a credit card because I was that much struggling. And that is very stressful. It's not fun. And so that is a reason why I think many people go to that extreme, because those are very pressing issues and solving those seems like the most immediate and most important thing. So with that all said, that's the challenge, of course, that we're all navigating, I believe. But what path we choose is ultimately up to us, first and foremost. But if you do choose and feel it's most right to you to blend both of these worlds together, both the physical, the human reality, and the responsibilities that are inherent in this human reality, and actually caring for and developing and growing as a spiritual being, as a soul, then I believe I've got an answer for you. So how we navigate this back and forth, right? Or these two worlds, like having a foot in each world. In my experience, and this is also just one path, I will say, and it may be an answer for you, it may not, but personally, what I found to be the most powerful and helpful navigating way of doing this is what I've learned is a path called dream building. It's dream building. Now that is a simple term, but it means a whole lot. So I'm going to unpack it for you in this episode. So dream building simply means that you're not just dreaming dreams anymore, but you're actually building those dreams. In other words, you have dreams, you have ideas in your imagination that feel like they light up your energy, like they feel like they're coming from your heart or from your soul, that you really feel called to something, this dream. And by the way, a dream doesn't have to be something you're doing for your work or service to the world. A dream can literally be, I want to improve my health. And it maybe seems impossible, or I don't know the answer right now. A dream could be, a part of my dream years ago was, I want to attract the love of my life. I want to have a partnership with a woman who eventually will have kids and start a family, but that I feel is my soulmate. That was a dream of mine. But it absolutely can be in your vocation. I dream of starting that retreat center. I dream of making that difference in this community that are having challenging times right now. I dream of finding this cure. I dream of, and so on and so forth. It could be even of travel, like, you know, of leisure things, of things you'd love to do and you feel called to. I've often had that dream, and I fulfilled many of those dreams by traveling and visiting in different places of the world and experiencing different cultures. It really broadened my mind and it grew me spiritually. So anyway, those are just some examples, but we all have dreams. And sometimes as we get older, depending on how old you are, you might have noticed over the years that our dreams can drift away. And a big part of it, because of, you know, our human reality, the physical reality, and having to deal with that, are very real things. We often forget that there are dreams in our heart that really, really matter to us. And I'll share with you in a moment why this matters to us spiritually, but obviously there's a very strong tie-in with the physical reality of fulfilling our dreams, is because we get to experience different things, do different things, have different things, give different things in life. So that's our dreams. But building those dreams is a whole nother thing. And I'd invite you to think for a moment as we go forward, how many people in your life, including yourself, would you say is a dream builder? Someone who has actually achieved, fulfilled dreams in their own life. And maybe you can think of an experience you've had, like, you know, one off here or there, but generally it's pretty rare to have people in our lives, like a friend, a family member, a coworker, like people in our life that we actually know and can communicate with that have actually built dreams. It's not very common. But dream builders are those rare few in our world, small percentage, that have dreams, but then actually go after them despite the circumstances. That's actually a key component, because building a dream doesn't mean that you know how it's all going to work out or it's perfectly aligned. In fact, it often isn't. So dream building, that's the core, I would say, is a definition of what it means. Now here's why. And then I'll share with you a process of what does it mean to build a dream. There's actually three phases to dream building that I'll share with you on this episode. But why this matters to us both spiritually and physically. So again, I mentioned physically, it's pretty obvious. Like, your dreams often have something to do with it, your relationships, your health, your work in the world, your money freedom, your time freedom, where you get to go, what you get to give. So that's pretty obvious. But not so obvious is actually how this being a dream builder and building dreams actually grows you spiritually, how it actually connects you with your most authentic self, your higher self, and it connects you with God. Here's my point of view with this. Dreams actually come from the infinite side of our nature. I'm going to say that again. Dreams actually come from the infinite side of our nature. Now, I think there is some times where we may, you know, come up with an idea that we may have heard of from someone else, or, you know, we saw it on TV or we saw it on TikTok or on Instagram, and it's like, ooh, that sounds cool. It's like that dream was given to us by someone else. It might just be like a shiny object, right? But I'm talking about those dreams that just feel like they well up from the inside of you, like inside your heart, inside your mind. Like, it just pops, like, or you get this download, and it's this idea that lights you up. I personally believe our true dreams, the ones that we are actually called to, and that is really our soul's purpose to fulfill in this lifetime, that I believe comes from spirit, comes from source, comes from God. Because here's my point of view too with this, and this is how I make sense of it and have some logic to this, is why are we here anyway? Why are we human? If we are spiritual beings, and if we are only meant to grow spiritually, then why are we in this human reality? Why are we in duality? I believe it's actually for our soul's growth to be in this physical human duality so that we can grow through this human experience And a big part of that is our dreams and fulfilling our dreams, because there's going to be some steps that we need to take to shift, change, grow, and ultimately build a stronger connection with who we really are and a stronger connection with God, with spirit, with the power that has created this entire universe. So if you're picking up what I'm putting down, let's continue. But that's personally what I believe in dream building. We actually grow not only in our human self with our mind, our body, but we also grow spiritually, because it requires that deeper connection, and it requires us to go to a place that we have not gone before in our human experience. But ultimately that comes from who we are as a soul. So it involves spiritual growth, even though it's dream building can be very tangible, very physical for things that we're focused on. And one final thing I'll say about that, though, to go forward, is that a piece of evidence of why this is true, that if you look at just a macro view of our life itself, of the universe and everything that is in creation, it's in creation, or things are physicalized or put into physical reality because there is this impulse of life or wanting of more, of growth. We see that in a macro view as our expanding galaxy. In fact, if you look up a picture of, it's more like a rendition, like we don't have an actual picture of this, but from, measurements, astrophysicists and cosmologists, like they have good depictions of our Milky Way galaxy. And it is literally a spiral, right? But it is constantly expanding. That has actually been proven and well studied, that our specifically our galaxy, but it's actually our entire universe, they postulate, but our galaxy is actually expanding. And expands continuously. It is continuing to expand in terms of the space between certain stars or different bodies, different large bodies of mass, I guess you can say. I mean, that's literally planets or stars, right? But it's constantly expanding. So that's the nature of the universe from the Big Bang, if you accept that as, which is the most widely accepted and still, I think it's called a theory, but I think there's lots of proof to that. But still, point being that we're in expansion, and we, whether you believe in evolution of us evolving to this being, or that, God created us at some other point as human beings, but we have that same pull of becoming within us. We feel that we want this moreness in life, and in our human reality, since we are in human experience, as I said before, and we're here for a reason, we want more in human experiences. We want more greater health. We want more deeper relationships, or more relationships in our life. We don't have the kind of connections we want. We want greater fulfillment in our work. We want to do work that makes an impact. It makes a difference in the world. We want more money so that we can not just hoard it, but do great things with it, offer it, give it, and have comfort or safety so that we can be more creative to give even more. So all of these human results or human experiences is actually very deeply spiritual when we look at that from that viewpoint of life itself wanting expansion or growth. I mean, heck, that on an even micro level, a blade of grass is literally pressing through its previous version of itself in order to grow. I mean, quite literally, plants will press through cement, break through cement in order to seek greater life itself. So that is, I believe, what life itself wants, or spirit or source or God, whatever label that you'd like to put to it, wants growth, wants expansion. And we feel that through us, through our dreams. So again, if you're on board with me with that, if you've been picking up what I'm putting down and you're resonating with that, then let's go forward and talk about dream building. Because if that all makes sense to you now, then one of the most important things that we can do in our lives is pay attention to our dreams and then learn a process for how do we build that dream? Because it's not just going to drop in our lap, or if we, make one little tweak in our life, it's like, yep, I'm living my dream now. Most likely it's not like that. It's usually a paradigm shift, a major change that we go through. And it often happens internally first and then externally. But here's at least what I've learned. Dream building, as I mentioned, that's the term we're going to be using. Dream building is actually a system of transformation that actually first and foremost was passed to me by my mentor. My mentor learned it from her mentors and so on and so forth. There's literally a lineage of dream builders over the last century or two that I'll share with you in a moment. But there is a process that I'll share with you. And there's three main phases, as I mentioned, and that's what we're going to break down in today's episode. So we're going to get that to that in, let's say I'm going to promise you 3 minutes, because I got one final thing to share in terms of this lineage, because this is not just something that, you know, I personally thought up on a whim or notice in my own life. Cause personally I'm 31. I'm very well aware. I am young and I have a lot to learn still. And yet the system of transformation I've been trained in has been passed down for generations. So it really started with, at least in my mentor, Mary Morrissey's lineage, started with Henry David Thoreau and Ralph Waldo Emerson, who were the forefathers or the founders, you could say, of what is I guess another lineage, but it's similar, it's sort of the same, called Transcendentalism. Transcendentalism, simply put, is the belief that we can transcend any condition or circumstance we face. But ultimately, that's dream building, right? So that was an original way of life, we can call it, that was created by these two gentlemen or founded in America, in the North, or at least North New England, technically, but Northeast of America in the 1800s. And they passed down their teachings, their lineage, and others who studied them, like Napoleon Hill, Andrew Carnegie, Henry Ford, but that passed on and it continued on. And there's many, many other dream builders in life, like the Wright brothers or Amelia Earhart, who actually took the Wright brothers' invention and, you know, had her own dreams with it. Thomas Edison with all of his incredible inventions, Martin Luther King, literally the speech, "I have a dream." So some of these people may not have been actually studying the exact kind of lineage I'm talking about, but there is this lineage of people who honor their dreams and are willing to build those dreams. And as I mentioned, Mary, my mentor, is the one who codified what she calls dream building and put it into a system. And ultimately, dream building literally saved her life. She actually had a fatal kidney disease diagnosis when she was 17. And if you'd like to hear more about that story of how she transformed that with this process we're about to talk about and dive into, then episode 183 on the Science and Spirituality podcast actually is me and Chris interviewing Mary and having her share her story. So if you want to check that out, you can check out that episode and I'll link it in the description of this episode. And then final point with this, and just giving some evidence to this power, the power of dream building. I've been using dream building for the last decade in my life, and I changed my entire career path from being in the pharmacy industry and going to get my doctorate in pharmacy, which I fell out of love with and started to get disheartened with, because started to see what was actually going on in the pharmaceutical industry, mostly about money and greed and all. But if you want to hear my story about dream building and all of the amazing results I've created in my life, then I have an episode on that too. And that was episode 110. That was a bit of time ago, but it still stands true to this day. And I've built even more dreams since the episode of that, or since the time of that recording of that episode. But without further ado, let's talk about dream building and the steps involved. But if you'd like to check out those other episodes, then give more evidence and more power to this. So dream building, it can be broken down into a 12-week process, 12 steps in essence. But for now, as I mentioned, I'm going to break it down into three main phases, so three main phases of dream building that you can actually take and apply literally today. However, I will say, if you do want to actually take a deeper dive into the whole process over 12 weeks, I have a program that is literally called the Dream Builder Program that has been created by my mentor, and I guide my clients through. If you'd love to work with me as a life coach, I'm a certified life coach to go through this program with you, or guide you through it and coach you through it, then I have a gift for you at the end of this episode. So if you really would love to apply this into your life, dream building, then invite you to take advantage of that gift at the end of this episode. So let's get into it. Three phases of dream building and how to actually build a dream. It's actually very simple, I'll say, but there's a depth to each of these simple steps. So the first step is blueprinting. I'll explain more in a second, but I want to give you the three first. So first step, first phase is blueprinting your dream. Second phase or second step is bridging the gap between where you are and where you'd love to be in your life, what your vision is, what your dream is, bridging that gap. And then the third step is building the dream, and actually taking the action steps that ground the new energy that makes your dream your reality. It actually becomes your experience, not just something you think of or maybe see, you know, parts of your dream in your life here or there, but that it actually becomes sustainable in your life. It's actually a sustainable life that you get to live, and it is your dream that you're living. So blueprinting, bridging, and building. And of course, throughout this entire process, you ultimately become a new version of yourself. So that's underlying all of this. But so let's dive deeper into each of these three main phases of dream building. The first phase is blueprinting, as I said. I love this terminology because think of a blueprint for a home, a dream home maybe. Someone's building a dream home from scratch. You need a very specific set of blueprints that are designed by a skilled architect to actually build that home. Whether you build it yourself or you have other people build it for you, you need blueprints. You absolutely need to have the actual structure, the width, the length, the height of the rooms, how many rooms, if there's a garage, if there's a pool, if there's maybe it's a tiny home, it's up to you what you love as a dream home. But no matter what you're building, you need blueprints. You need specific designs so that you then can actually build that dream home. It is exactly the same when building a dream life. And this, to be honest, out of my 10 years of dream building and 6.5 years of coaching clients through this process of building dreams, this is the one step that makes you or breaks you in terms of actually living your dream. Let me clarify what I mean. When clarifying or designing a blueprint of a dream life, most people are way too vague. They don't have the kind of clarity that is necessary in order to then have clarity to then build a dream. Most often we have ideas like, yeah, I'd like more money. Oh yeah, I want to be more fulfilled in my work. I want to do what I love. I want the love of my life. I want to be healthy. Great. That's a great first, like, it's like the skeleton, you can even say. It's like, it's bare bones of just the bare minimum. But when you create a blueprint for a dream life, you might even think of, maybe it's popping in your mind already, like a vision board is a next step to getting even more clear or more specific. But what I do with my clients and help them with is to create a vision statement. Now, a vision statement is a very clear and detailed view of what would life be like when your dream is fully fulfilled, fully realized. What life are you living? What would you love in your life? And the reason why most people stumble or get stuck here is because our logical thinking mind gets in the way. Our doubt starts to dissuade us away from even dreaming. We start thinking like, oh, who am I to? Is it possible? Can I? Well, I don't know. I don't know what my dream is. We get so stuck in that thinking that we don't allow for our dream to emerge. A dream is actually, as much as I said before, that it does come to you. It's like something that it comes up from within you, and that it's not something you just, you know, pick off of the, you know, just, you know, off of like, you know, an Instagram reel or like, oh yeah, that sounds like a good dream. No, it's something you're deeply listening to and actually uncovering. And so it takes some time. This first blueprinting process is actually a good 3 to 4 weeks that I walk my clients through. So it's not a walk in the park per se, but I promise you, you feel so much better after you get clarity. So it's part of the process is letting go of the doubt, checking and watching out for those questioning like, oh, who do you think you are? Is it possible? And really just opening up to what would I love? What would I love? What would I love? Even if, especially if you don't know how, because that's another stumbling block. It's like, how? How could I do this? How is this possible? Because you may be very clear. It's like, I would love to have, you know, my own business. I'd love to serve, you know, 20 clients a week. And let's say like one of my past clients was a massage therapist. Like, oh, I have my own business. I've doubled my massage therapy business. I'm earning, you know, X amount of dollars, $10,000 a month. Oh, with that extra money, I get to save this amount. I get to travel. And, you know, me and my partner got to go to California on our dream trip. I'm just giving examples, but like, you can see, like, there can be that much more specificity that emerges as you stay in the question, what would I love? It's not what do you think that you can do, but what would I actually love to experience in my life? And remember, because part of the mind might like, you know, stir up some doubt and fear of like, oh, I'm just being selfish. Oh, I shouldn't want this. That's not right. I should just be grateful for what I have. All of those, you know, things that get in the way. So that's what I help my clients with, coach them through and help them reconnect. So that's the first part is getting clear. Getting very specific. And my recommendation, at least what I again coach my clients through, write it down, put it all down on paper and in the present tense, even. I mean, as you could tell, I get lit up about this and there's so much I can go into. I could probably spend a full hour just on step one of blueprinting, but I want to move forward so I can give you this full three-step process, so this three-phase process. But so again, the first step, clarifying, getting clear. Part of that first step also is then starting to visualize and imagine that reality is actually yours. Because scientifically, this is well studied now, dozens of scientific experiments prove this. Our mind, our brain, and then our nervous system in our body cannot tell the difference between something we vividly imagine and something in our physical reality. Now, I invite you to pause and really contemplate the power of that, that our brain and our nervous system, our body, cannot tell the difference between something we vividly imagine and something in our physical reality. That to me is positive proof that we're meant to be dream builders. We're meant to have these different experiences we're dreaming up in our mind and our imagination, and then turning it over time into our reality and actually experiencing it in physical form. So that's proof to me that we're meant to do this. So visualizing it, connecting with it so that you're starting to tune to that frequency. You're starting to be that version of yourself now. So that's blueprinting. Second phase, bridging. This, I was actually, it's kind of blending. It goes right hand in hand, that as you now have the clear picture, a clear image of what life you'd love to live in all aspects of your life, your dream life, now it's about dissolving the blocks within you to being that version of you now. Because it's not about getting to the dream or getting there. It's about living from the energy of your vision. And so bridging the gap means dissolving blocks. And the most common blocks are fear, doubt, and worry. And some of that fear can manifest as feelings of lack. Like, oh, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough education. I don't have the experience. I don't know. I don't have the right connections or the right people in my life. Or, man, like, I'm afraid of failing. I've tried this before and it hasn't worked. Oh, like, you know, what are people going to say about me? A fear of rejection. Like, what if, you know, someone doesn't like me when I ask them out? Like all these different things that pop up. So there's ways of shifting this, but I'll say the one key shift in bridging, because it's really about bridging the gap energetically between where you are in your current self to the self, that future self, when it's all worked out, when you've lived into your vision fully. So bridging the gap means making those internal shifts, those paradigm shifts, so that the pattern way of living, of thinking, of feeling, of being, of acting, it completely changes. And so the main shift ultimately is to befriend your fear, to welcome it, to not make it wrong or bad that you're experiencing that or feeling that. It actually just means that you're growing. You know this, that in order to actually live your dream life, you have to go outside of your comfort zone. And if it's outside of your comfort zone, what is it? It's uncomfortable, of course. And in our mind, the way our mind works, when we're uncomfortable, fear is such a good tool to bring us back into the comfort zone so that we feel safe. So befriending your fear, noticing it when it rises up, and using tools, which there are many, like meditation, breathing, heck, even exercise can help shift fear. But many, many different tools of reconnecting with your center, with yourself. Heck, another tool, reading your vision statement when you notice fear rise up so that you can reconnect with that reality that you're creating. So that's bridging. And just for sake of time, I'll leave it at that. It is as simple, but just not as easy because of course, when we're having fear rocket through our body, that's a very physical thing. I mean, you can measure cortisol in the body when there's stress and that fear is turned into stress or stress is turned into fear. So it's very real and visceral, challenging to overcome, which I don't mean to toot my own horn here, but like, and it's not even about me, but getting support, having a coach, having a mentor, having a therapist, even having a friend support you in dream building, all these different things, different ways that you can have support. I'm just speaking about one that I work with every day, 5 days a week, I coach with clients. So anyway, befriending your fear is the real bridging step to bridge the gap energetically to then tune into your dream again and reconnect with that energy. And then the final phase to bring it in for a landing, building. Now, I often find it funny after, again, a decade of dream building myself, that the final phase, the third phase is finally building. It's kind of a misnomer. It's a not really misnamed because it's a good name. Like the building process means taking action, but you're taking action from day one. Building now is just focusing on being more efficient with your action steps. Excuse me. And those action steps will help you in grounding this energy that you're working on generating of you living your dream, living that dream life, living from that dream. So building is ultimately where you start to accelerate the process of dream building. It's not that, yeah, you're just starting now, but you're continuing the process. So action steps, that's really where the rubber meets the road, is the age old saying. That another way of putting it is you're putting your money where your mouth is. Like, you're actually not talking the talk anymore, but you're walking the talk. All these different phrases, we know these things, right? But it's so real when you now start to focus on the action steps. Part of this, though, is not just doing anything, any old thing, just to, like, you know, throw spaghetti at the wall and trying to build a dream, but it's being measured in your approach and being very clear on what action steps am I taking to serve my dream. Part of those action steps to serve your dream in this building phase is about cutting away from the old. Like, what is not serving your dream? What action steps are you currently in a habit of doing that is ultimately not for your highest good? Like, for example, most people know, and most health, like a nutritionist, most doctors, most people would say soda, not good. But what if we're wanting, our dream is to be the healthiest version of ourselves, and yet we're drinking 2 sodas a day, 2 sugary drinks. Like, it's not working, right? So an action step there is to cut away, to discontinue that pattern or habit. So it's ultimately shifting and changing up our patterns, our habits of action. And that'll tune us to the frequency of our dream much more fully. There's an energetic sufficiency that builds as we take all these steps, clarifying the dream, blueprinting, bridging the gap, dealing with fear, overcoming that or befriending it, and then continuing to take action toward our dream. It's like 1 degree of energy that goes toward our dream again and again, and things start to change. I mean, obviously, things start to change within you first. That's the first primary sign that you are dream building. You are actually building the dream, is that you start to feel different. But over time, you start to notice things change in your environment, change in your circumstances. You might even notice that you start to view yourself or your friends or your family differently in a more loving, compassionate way or inspiring way. There's so many different things that change. But the final thing I'll say with these actions prove your belief. I want to say that again. Actions prove your belief. Belief in what? Well, it depends. If you're taking action steps toward your dreams consistently every day, even if it's just a 5-minute action step in one day, that's absolutely you proving your belief to your dream. Like, you believe in your dream deeply. And you're proving that not only to yourself, maybe proving that to others. Not that you have to prove yourself, but like it is an absolute proof. But even more importantly, I believe it's a proof to God. It's a proof to the infinite that you're serious, that you mean business, that you actually care, that there's a deep caring for this dream that you are working on creating in your life. So that proof, then, I personally believe that there's a reverberation back to you. It's like you've been giving, giving, giving. And then over time, like, you start to receive. And man, like, I wish I had some concrete examples of this to share with you right now, but I'll say this, and you probably have experience of this already in your life as well, that when you're aligned and you're living into your full soul's purpose, you're taking action, then you get supported. Like, there's someone says something and it's just like the answer you needed. Maybe someone supports you in a real way. Like, you know, you get, you know, surprise support in money, or, you know, so a collaboration starts to form because you've been open and giving. So all sorts of things start to happen that would not have otherwise happened unless you went on this dream building journey. So blueprinting, getting clear, bridging the gap of your energy so that you're staying aligned with your vision, and then building, taking action, grounding that energy so that you're proving it in your life. And then over time, it doesn't work out perfectly often, especially, I'll give you one other quick note. In the building process, in the Dream Builder program that I take my clients through, week 11 is all about failure, about things not working out. Like, it's such a normal experience. It's part of our human journey, because we're not perfect. We're human. We will make mistakes, but there's also things that are just not meant to work out. And ultimately it is spirit, God, source itself, orchestrating and organizing the ways in which our dream can come through for us in an even grander way, a more divine way than we could have ever planned. So if you're going through a dream building journey already yourself and you're meeting up against some failure or some mistakes or things not working out, keep your heart, keep your head up, because it's not the end. I believe it. So with that said, that is the dream building process. It is, like I said, simple, but very, very powerful. And there's a lot of depth to this, which is why I walk my clients through a 3-month process or 12 weeks to dream building, because there's a lot more beneath the surface of this process. But to bring it in for a landing, ultimately, again, this is personally my greatest experience. And I have such a reverence for this process myself, because yes, all of the amazing things happening in physical reality of dreams coming true are great. But even more importantly, it's who we become as a soul in this human experience. We grow as a soul through this process. And that's the greatest gift I've ever experienced. So as I mentioned, I have a gift for you. If you resonate with this, if you've been tuning in, we're at 42 minutes of recording right now. If you've been loving this and feel like this aligns with you as well, if you feel you've been a dream builder, you are a dream builder, you want to be a dream builder, you want to continue and develop and master this process, then I'd love to work with you. I have, usually it's once a month, but my next one is upcoming. I've got 4 spots left for a group that I'm forming together with clients, small group format, where I'm going to be coaching and guiding you through this dream building program, Dream Builder. And it's designed by my mentor, Mary. There's audios just like a podcast, but they're structured over full 3 months that build on each other to teach you and train you in this dream building process. There's guidebook questions that help you go deeper with this. Obviously, our coaching that we'll go through, we'll have an hour a week of group coaching so that I can support you. And it's a lot of fun. It's so much fun. And there's lifelong friendships that form from clients of mine connecting. So if you'd love to be a part of this, let's explore. Let's see if we're a good fit. So I have what are called strategy sessions. It's a full 1-hour private coaching call, a 1-hour Zoom call we can get on. And I can support you in the process of discovering if this is right for you. I'll coach you through a process of getting clear on your longings and discontents, which will help clarify your vision and your dream. I'll help you go through a process of embodying your dream in this call. And then the final part of this coaching call is to help you in discovering action steps to help you move forward. It's kind of like a mini dream building, like blueprinting, bridging, building in this strategy session. So it's a 1 hour, and this 1 hour private coaching call is valued at $250. However, this is why I mentioned I have a gift for you, because for now I have maybe 5 to 10 spots left for this month. But if you're listening to this recording and it's beyond this, check in with my calendar anyway. I usually have a few spots open every month. So you can click the link in the description of this episode and you'll be taken to my online calendar to book this 1 hour call. And again, it's my gift to you. It's completely complimentary, and especially in exploring if we're a good fit to work together in dream building. And I'd love to join you in this journey and support you in this journey. So if that resonates with you, then again, you can click the link in the description of this episode to be taken to my online calendar, book a spot. And I invite you to do that as soon as possible, because those sessions fill up, and they fill up quickly every month. And I'd look forward to working with you, it's an exploration. There's no obligation if you book a call that you have to invest in the Dream Builder program with me, but we'll see if we're a good fit. But if you do sign up and invest in yourself through the Dream Builder, I promise you it'll be a lifelong investment. There's a paradigm shift that happens within those 3 months. And heck, many of my clients love to work with me beyond the 3 months, but we'll have at least those 3 months. And really, you learn a lifelong skill set. So spots are limited. So again, if you resonate with that, click the link in the description of this episode. And I'll look forward to having that conversation with you on the strategy session. With that said, my friend, we've went on a journey even in just this episode. So appreciate you sticking with me. And I'll see you on another episode. Peace. And that's it for today. So thanks for tuning in. We really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. So any questions, any comments, connect with us on Instagram personally at Kevin F. Carton
or at Chris J. Carton or our podcast or Instagram page at Science and Spirituality Podcast. And if you feel guided to, the one thing that we do ask is for you to please rate the podcast and also leave a review. This way we can reach more people and in that way impact more lives. So with that, we'll see you on the next episode.